Word Bible. I've preached that for years, and Boyd was somewhere last year and heard that on the radio, somewhere out in the Midwest, and sent that to me, and I played it and played. Finally, I told Shirley, just learn it. I need to hear that song. I've got an Every Word Bible. I'm going to tell you how important it is to have an Every Word Bible. It's not just the thoughts of God that's preserved. It's the words of God that are preserved. And when I read my Bible, when you read your Bible, it's important enough that you don't read it so fast that you miss a word, or that you change a word, or that you leave a word out or add a word, that you read exactly the way it's written. It's important because it's written a certain way. And I have an Every Word Bible, all right? So, now, everybody got a paper? Anybody need a paper? All right. Matt, can you help me out here? Hold your hand up if you need a paper. All right? We're going to be looking in the book of Colossians. Go ahead, Richard. Hey, Richard. All right. Keep your hand up if you need one. Still got five more there. All right. Give you that as a little go-by. All right, a little study sheet maybe. And we're not going to try to get all that tonight. We'll go till we've got quitting time and we'll just stop there. All right. And we're not going to try to rush through the Bible. We're going to take it slow and make sure we do go word by word here, verse by verse. Now, Brother Rick has taught us Colossians in the past, and I don't know, once or twice have I ever just started the start of a book and go plumb through. I did Jonah, and maybe Philippians maybe once before, but we're going to go verse by verse tonight, and we'll explain as we go. All right? Everybody all right? All right, well, let's pray together, and then we'll get right into our Bible study. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, I am unworthy to even handle this precious book tonight. Lord, I don't deserve anything that I read that is for me in here, but yet you give me so much, and I thank you for that. Lord, I read in your word that I'm a wretch. I believe that. Lord, if the greatest Christian is a wretch, then I know I have to be. And Lord, I pray tonight that you might cleanse me, anything that might be a hindrance, forgive me, remove it, and help me to be where I need to be just now. Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our minds, our hearts. Lord, as I read the word, Lord, it's not my word, it's your word. I pray that you might put it in our heart, that we might remember it, that we might grow thereby. And we're going to praise you for it all. Lord, you're wonderful. You're great. It's about you. And I'm excited, Lord, about what you're doing in my mind and my heart. Help me to be more like you, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're going to look at the book of Colossians tonight and for a few weeks. And I want you to listen carefully. We'll try not to go too fast. And I ask you to do your homework. One told me they'd done their homework today. I don't know if you've done your homework, but they read very slow on purpose and together, and it took them right at 20 minutes. That's about the longest it'll take you. You know, 25 minutes, you ought to be able to read 95 verses in about 13 minutes is what you ought to. All right, so I want to encourage you there, okay? That's all it's in Colossians is 95 verses. And if you'll read that every week until we get done teaching, it'll help you as I teach, all right? It's just like Brother Rick. Brother Rick's teaching in Genesis. It would be no problem to read all of Genesis throughout the week. If you read that, even though he ain't there yet, go back and read what he's done taught. If you read whatever book's being taught in, it'll help you keep it in your mind, all right? Repetition is what helps you to retain it there, hearing it over and over and over, all right? And we know this. There's things we'll do by reflex if we've done it long enough. if we'll put the scripture in our mind often enough, it'll come out as reflex. It will. It's alive anyway. All right? So let's start here. If you look at your paper just for a minute before we begin the scripture, I want to give you a couple of things real quick here. My reason for teaching Colossians and Ephesians, and that's what we're going to look at after we do Colossians, is to stress our position in Christ and then His position in the church. It's necessary for me to know where I'm at in Christ. How saved I am, how lost I was, and how saved I am. Now, the reason that's important is because of the battles that we fight. And if we have that victory, knowing where we're at in Christ, then victory, we'll see the victory that's already there, and we'll be stronger when the battle's raging. All right, so we need to know our position in Christ. And then when we have a church and the church grows and we have activities and we have talents, then we need to understand that we're not the head of the church, but that Christ is the head of the church and that He gets all glory, that His name is magnified above every name in every situation. And He only allows us to be involved. All right, the Bible is not about us. It's about Him. And He tells about us as He teaches, as He goes through. But it's about the Lord, all right? And everything that pertains to Christ, He's the center, all right? Never forget, He's the center. So it's not about us, but it's about Him. Now, the book of Colossians is one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote this when he was in jail, when he was in prison. He also wrote Ephesians as a prison epistle. Philippians is a prison epistle, and so is Philemon. Philemon, that's however you say it. I've heard some people say Philemon, but Philemon. Philemon, where I come from, so. So if I'm wrong, you'll just have to tell me. All right. The Church of Colossae was a Gentile church, mostly Gentile believers anyway. There's always some Jews around through, but it was mostly a Gentile church located in modern Turkey or Asia Minor, not far from Laodicea and not far from Ephesus. All right, if you look on, if you got maps in your Bible, you can probably see some of that. All right, now, Ephesians and Colossians together, and the reason we want to keep mentioning these together, because I say Colossians shows He's the He is the head of all, if you would, the head of the church, and then Ephesians shows that the body of Christ. All right, all of this is in Christ. Now, Ephesians, Colossians are so close, and I did not know this, I've just learned this recently, that 78 verses in Colossians are almost identical to the verses in Ephesians. That's how close they are together. All right, and both show us in Christ or of Christ. And here in just a minute, I'm going to show you some examples here in just a minute. Now, this book is said to be the most Christ-centered book of the whole Bible. Colossians is. There's more about Christ, more meaning, more importance in the book of Colossians than any other book of the Bible concerning Christ. It shows us the deity of Christ. That Christ is God. Now, we've taught this in the past, and I want to stress it again, because there's always an attack on the deity of Christ. And I know people get tired of hearing it, but that's why the versions come out. All these are attacks. People will argue it, but it's still yet true. It's the attacks on the deity of Christ. All right? And if Christ is not God, now listen carefully, if Christ is not God, then we're all going to hell. If Christ is not God, we don't have nothing. Nobody goes. Nobody has no hope. If Christ is not God, no one has any hope. Understand that. But He is God. So therefore we have hope. Think about that. All right? We still all right with that? Now, think about that. Now, if Christ is not God again, now nothing else matters. Now, Colossians shows us Christ as the head of the church. Ephesians will show us the church as the body of Christ. And again, we'll look at that next. Now, I want you to listen. We're going to do something here before we all get into the verses here. Colossians, in 95 verses of Colossians, all right, there's a reference to Christ by name, by Christ, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Him, His, in some way, over 30 times. All right? I didn't count them exactly, but it's over 30. Now, I want to show you why this book is so centered on Christ. So, open your Bibles, and we're going to start at verse 1. Now, I'm going to do this fairly fast, and I'm not going to read every verse, but get your Bible out, because Jeremy ain't going to be able to keep up. All right, so get your Bible out, and I'm going to show you the importance of an every word Bible and that Christ is the center of this book. All right, everybody with me? Let's start at verse 1. Now, I'm not going to read the whole verse, so you're going to have to hang with me. All right, everybody ready? All right, let's look here at verse 1. It says, of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren, where in Christ? The last part of the verse, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, second line there, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, faith in Christ Jesus. All right. Verse 7, you're a faithful minister of Christ. Let's see, verse 9. It'll be with the knowledge of His will. Verse 10, worthy of the Lord. Verse 11, to His glorious power. Verse 13, His dear Son. Verse 14, He in whom, speaking of the Son, and then His blood. Does everybody follow me? Almost every verse is talking about Christ. All right. Now, I'm going to go through the whole book here, all four chapters. Now, I want you to look at verse 15, who is speaking of Christ. Verse 16, by Him. All right. Everybody still follow me? Look in verse 16, the last part, by Him and for Him. Verse 17, He is. And then by Him all things consist. Verse 18, He is. You say, why is that important? Because it's showing His preeminence. It's showing He's the center, He's the head, He's above all. And the reason Paul's writing this to the church is because things was interfering and false doctrines were trying to come in, and he's putting all the emphasis on Jesus Christ. Now, when we say Christ is the center, we mean Christ is the center. All right? And that's why he has the preeminence. So, let's go back. Verse 18. And he is, down the bottom part of the verse, that in all things he. Verse 19, and that in him. Verse 20, his cross, by him, to reconcile all things, unto himself, by him. Everybody see? Talk to me if you see what I'm saying. All right, last part of verse 21, and yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22, the body of his flesh. All right, the last part of verse 22, in his sight. All right, drop down to verse 24, which is behind of the afflictions of Christ for his body's sake. Verse 27, is Christ in you? All right, verse 28, the last part of the verse, in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, to his working. All right, chapter 2, verse 2, and of Christ. Verse 3, in whom? All right, speaking of Christ. Verse 5, in Christ, the last two words of the verse, in Christ. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That whole verse is nothing but about Christ. He's the center. If there's a book of the Bible that's going to magnify the Lord, it's the book of Colossians. Everybody understand? And did not the psalmist say, let us magnify the Lord together. All right? And you say, why is that important? Because he has the preeminence. That's why all these are saying. We'll bring all these verses out as we go through. Look in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. After Christ, there's the last part of the verse. Verse 9. For in him. Verse 10, you're complete in him. Verse 11, the last two words of the verse, of Christ. Verse 12, with him. The second part, the second stanza there, with him. The last part, raised him. We're talking about Christ. It's almost, you know, if you underline it, you've almost underlined the whole verse through the whole chapter. All right? Now, I know this is redundant, but I want you to see it. All right? Verse 13. And you, says, being dead in your sins, hath he with him. There, verse 13. Says Christ. Verse 14, the last part of the verse, nailed to his cross. All right? And then verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. All right? See, it's him. It's all about Christ. Verse 17, of Christ. There's the last part of the verse. Verse 19, and not holding the head, speaking of Christ. That's him. That's still him. Verse 20, with Christ. All right? Let's look at chapter 3 now. If ye then be risen with Christ, speak those things which are above, where Christ. All right. Look at verse 3. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. Verse 4. When Christ. The last part. With him. Let's see. Verse 10. Last part of the verse there. Knowledge after the image of him. All right. Verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. All right. Verse 13. The last part. Even as Christ. All right, let's see. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell. Verse 17, there in the middle, do all the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, the last part, by him. All right, verse 18, as fit in the Lord, that's Christ. All right, let's go on down. Verse 20, the last two words, the Lord. That's still, we're talking about Christ. All right, verse 23, doing hardly as to the Lord. See, that's still Christ. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord is still Christ. The last part of the verse, for you serve the Lord Christ. All right, chapter 4, look at verse 3, to speak the mystery of Christ. All right, let's see, verse 7. And a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. That's still Christ. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. All right, does everybody see? And then go to the last there, verse 17. It says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. That is Christ. Now, that's probably more than 30. I didn't count them. But I know there's at least 30 there. Now, why is that important? I have an every word Bible. Every word is important. And I must see who is the sender. Now, if we're going to fight false doctrine, any false belief, then it's not going to be my opinion. It's not going to be what I think. We're going to have to use the Word of God. And the false doctrines that try to slip in, always, any false doctrine tries to take away from Christ. Understand that. Any false doctrine tries to take away from him. So to combat that, then I need my every word Bible and show forth Christ. Everybody understand? Now, we all know that. I understand that. But I wonder how many times you've looked and underlined that. All right? And just to show you, go back to Ephesians. Now, we're not going to do the whole book of Ephesians, but I'm going to show you that how similar. All right, is everybody okay? Ephesians, look at chapter 1 in Ephesians, chapter 1. It says, Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ. The last part of the verse, in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ. See, it's the same, right, when we go through. Verse 5, by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in whom? All right, verse 10, in Christ. Verse 11, in whom? Verse 12, the last part, in Christ. Verse 13, the word of truth, that's Christ. All right, verse 15, Lord Christ, or Lord Jesus, rather. Verse 17, our Lord Jesus Christ. verse 20, we'll just quit there. He wrought where at? In Christ. See, Ephesians is going to do almost the same thing. Now, why is that? Because Christ is the center. Nobody gets glory but Christ. Nobody is lifted up above Christ. Let us magnify His name together. Now, that's when I read, probably of all the books of the Bible, I've read Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians more than any other place in the Bible. I've told you that many times. And they are my favorite books of the Bible. But it also, it tells me how to live. It tells me who to give glory to, magnify His name. It also gives me the way I'm to live. Ephesians gives me instruction on how to live with you, how to treat you. Colossians, the same way, basically what Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. All these things are together. Everybody follow me so far? Am I talking too fast? We all right? All right. So let's go back. Now, this book, Colossians, shows the complete sufficiency of our position in Christ. He is enough. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Christ is enough. All right? Period. He's enough. Now, people always want to add good works. Now, there's nothing wrong with good works, but you don't add them to Christ. You have good works because of Christ. But nothing's added to Christ. He's enough. It's not, when you get saved, it's not Christ plus what you do. To stay saved, it's not Christ plus what you do. To get saved, it's not Christ plus what you do. To stay saved, it's not Christ plus what you do. It's Christ. He's sufficient. He's enough. If He's not enough, then we don't have a Savior. Think about that. If He's not enough, then we don't have a Savior. A Savior saves. Think about it. A Savior saves. Not part way. A Savior saves. Think about that. That means if He saves you, you're saved. Because of Christ, not because of us. Now, and that is important. Now, as Christ in Him alone. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. And like I say, we'll go back and get all these, but we're just going to look at a couple of verses tonight. It says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free." But look what it says. "But Christ is all and in all." That's speaking of the believer. That's speaking of those that are saved. Christ is all. He's all. And He's in all. I don't have no more than you have. You don't have no more than I have. Everybody understand that? You say, "Well, I failed today." You don't have no less than I did if I hit all cylinders, all eight cylinders run good all day long. All right? If I didn't have a miss, I don't have more of Him than you do. If you fell flat on your face all week, you don't have less of Him than I do. Because I have Christ and He is all in all. I'm complete in Him and He's complete in me. I'm not praying to get more of Him. I'm not praying to get an added blessing. I didn't get an arm or a leg when I got Christ. I got all. I'm in Him. He's in me. All. It says, "But Christ is all and in all." And we don't want to forget that. Now, there's key verses all through the Scripture, and some may think there's different ones are keys. So this is just what we have here, and this is not just mine, but this is other thoughts as well. But let's look at some of the key verses, and we're going to be really getting all the meat out of it that we can as we go through the Scripture. Look at chapter 1. Let's look at verse 15. All right, well, look here. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Right? Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, that's the first part. It shows his preeminence above everything. He's the creator. Christ is the creator. He's not just a son. He's God. In the form of his son, he is the visible part of God. When we see Christ, we see God. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Am I talking too fast? The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, Word. That's a person, that's Christ. And the Word, capital W, that's a person, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by him. By who? The Word. And without him, who's him? The Word. Was not anything made that was made. If it was made, he made it. Alright? Verse 4. In him, who? The Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So, we see that Christ is the Creator. He's the Word. You say, well, how do I know that the Word is Christ? Well, then you drop down in verse 14. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word, capital W, that's the same word that's in the first verse, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. Everybody understand that? We're talking about Christ. Now, go to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. When you get there, let me know. 1 John chapter 1. Now he writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the, capital W, Word of Life. Hold your finger there. Look back in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. All right, we're talking about the same person. Everybody with me? All right. Verse 2, in 1 Little John, all right, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, or made where we can see, given life, made a person. That's Christ. Christ is the Word. Christ is the Creator. Christ is God. Christ is the preeminence over everything. He's number one. He's above all. He's got everything lined out. By him all things consist. It's by him, for him. I'm in him. He's in me. I got it made because of Christ. All right? Now, let's see. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Verse verse 16. Or 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says here, everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God was. God was who was manifesting? The Word. We just now read in the Gospel of John. Right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16 here in 1 Timothy 3 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the Christ that I'm talking to you about in Colossians. It's God. All right? Everybody understand that? Everybody see that in the Scripture? Now, when I say, do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know that I can explain it. I don't understand how God can be the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but the Bible teaches it and I believe it. But He's a lot bigger than I am. A lot higher than I am. All right, so that's where we're at, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Everybody with me? Now let's back up to verse 18. Now this is a very important verse, and we didn't read it, but we'll read it again, because we're looking at some key verses that we're going to be stopping on when we go through, all right? And we'll elaborate more. But here in verse 18 it says, and He is the head of the body, the church. And He's not a head. Now, the Pope says He's the head of the church, and they consider the Catholic Church the church, but Catholicism is idolatry, and the Pope is not God, and He's not Christ, and He's the head of nothing but confusion. That's all He's the head of, okay? But Christ, and He is the head of the body, the church, whose beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have, what? The preeminence. We're going to hit that word all the way through all four chapters. That He might have the preeminence. All right? Now, let's back up to verse 14. All right? Key verses. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, this is one of the verses that I always look at when somebody hands me another version of the Bible. That's one of the verses I go straight to, because normally it's left out. The blood is left out of that verse in these other perverted works of man. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, I don't have forgiveness apart from the blood. I don't have nothing apart from Christ and His blood. It's got to be, I have an every word Bible. All right? Is everybody still with me? Now, verse 15 then goes on and says, who is the image of the invisible God? Well, we read that in John chapter 1. We read that in 1 John chapter 1. We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Is everybody with me? All right, so it ain't just one place. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? All right, now we'll get in depth with the firstborn there later on, but this is just key verses that I want you to keep reading. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created. So we don't really have to have nothing else. For it said, for by Him were all things created. That's what John said. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, who allows all these yahoos to be in office? The Lord does. The Lord does. whether they be tyrants, whether they be evil, whether they be righteous, the Lord allows it. It says that He created all things, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. All these things that we see going on in the world today is for His purpose to bring in His second coming, His millennial reign, all of this comes together. Everything's about Christ. From Genesis to Calvary, everything from Genesis to Calvary is about Christ being our Savior. The way I see it, I may be wrong if I understand my Bible, but everything after Calvary to Revelation is about Him coming again. From Genesis to Calvary is about Him coming as Savior, and then from Calvary on is about Him coming again as King. That's how the whole Bible is laid out. And it's all just about Christ. All right? And we just had to go through a lot to see it. All right? Now, let's look on. Verse 17. And He is before all things. See, He's God. And by Him all things consist. Now, we've preached this many times. Other people have. I don't know that we can get in our mind, fathom in our mind, how big He is. Now, He did put on a robe of flesh and walk on this earth. But He's God. Now, we're talking about the God who the Scripture says the earth is His footstool. Do you understand that? The earth is His footstool. He's so massive, so big, so great and marvelous, above all, that if He would prop His feet up, He could use the earth. That's how big He is. And that's how small we are. We're just but a speck on the earth that's under His feet. So when we talk about that all things consist by Him, I have a God that I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm being taken care of. Do you understand? Where am I at as a speck to think I can do anything when the God that made everything, if He relaxes His feet, He props them up on the earth as a planet. You understand? In other words, my problems ain't nothing compared to the size of my God. You understand? My sickness ain't nothing compared to the size of my God. My heartache ain't nothing compared to the size of ain't nothing bigger than my God tonight. Think about that. And I find all that in Colossians. Because it says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Think about that. Now, let's look in chapter 2. Is everybody with me? Let's look in chapter 2. And we're just looking at some key verses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in Christ dwells the Father and the Spirit and the Son in Christ. He's everything. Verse 10. Can we read that first line together? And ye are complete in Him. Hallelujah. Think about that. Huh? For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. To me, that's most wonderful. All right? Now let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye, now that if ye is not questioned, that if ye is showing a statement here, all right, that if ye, since ye, because ye are, all right, if ye then be risen with Christ, since ye're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. All right? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Look how secure you are. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And we might as well just go ahead and add verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. Ain't that what we read in John chapter 1? That He's the life. Isn't that what we read in 1 John chapter 1? That He is the life. And then it says it's here. When Christ, who is our life. See, I don't have nothing apart from Christ. I don't have eternal life because I'm a good man, because I'm not a good man, and eternal life don't come by man. Eternal life comes by Christ. My salvation don't come by man, it comes by Christ. My eternal security. I mean, you're eternally secure. If you're saved, you're saved for time and eternity, because you're in Christ. Think about that. He is our life. Alright? So, we'll stop right there. Alright? Next week we'll start by verse 1 and look at the preeminence of the gospel message. Alright? Everybody alright? So I'm excited. I love Colossians. I love Colossians. And I love Ephesians. In case you've not noticed, I love Colossians.